Praise God. Acts chapter 1. I love the book of Acts. It's not the book of observations, is it? It's not the book of analysis. Oh, the paralysis of analysis. Hallelujah. It's the book of Acts. Amen. God wants us to be up and at it, at his business. Now, what we just saw was, I thought, well, I could tell, and I made a special call to Sister Gwen, and I said, look, there's a couple things. One of them is this message is longer than what I remembered it being, and the second one is, there's this. I can't get the sound up, so knowing that you've got equipment there, I guess I think we'll be okay, and so, but, you know, this is probably what they did. The keyboard was super loud, and then the Brother Baxter's voice. So I don't know if there is a great copy of this. We'll have to check around and bring it to you later if we can find one that has the sound right. I'm guessing that since this copy is this way, that probably all of them are. Here's another thing we could do. I could call Brother Baxter, he's a personal friend of mine, and say, hey, Brother Baxter, we love it when you whisper, but I love it more. But I love it more when you shout. Do you have a shouting version of that message you did at my camp? Send us a shouting version. Oh, Jesus' name. All right, Acts 1 verse 8. Let me just kind of maybe talk to you out of my heart. This won't probably, I don't know, it'll be whatever the Lord helps me it to be, because I have no time to get this message pulled together. So I'll just talk to you out of my heart, some of the stuff that's happening in my heart. Scary as that might sound. Okay. Acts 1 verse 8. Buddy! Shout! Oh. Receive. Power! After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. So I say, come upon me, Holy Ghost. See, have you prayed that prayer? Come upon me, Holy Ghost. I need some power today. Come upon me, Holy Ghost. I have a right to pray that prayer. Come upon me, Holy Ghost. Come upon me, Holy Ghost. I need some power. And ye shall be witnesses. Now notice how this is written. It's written so strongly. Like for instance, when he says that, and ye shall be witnesses, that's a promise. It's actually like three things: a command, it's a promise, and it's also a prophecy. See, you need to be witnesses. There's that in there, that sense. You will be witnesses. Okay, ye shall be witnesses. In other words, and then it will happen in your life and in your future. Ye shall be witnesses. A prophetical, three flavors there. Don't you like those ice cream places where you walk in and you got 33 flavors? You say, any one of them can just get me going, man. How do I make a choice? And watch this. It shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, starting right. See, your Jerusalem, my Jerusalem. Right here. Somebody said, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but remember the water bill is higher too. In other words, oh, I'm going to be something when I get over there to IBC or TBC or CBC or, no, that doesn't exist anymore. That's the one I went to. Closed down years ago. Anyway, it's been a while. But no, be something here. Be something right now.
Right.
See, so this is our Jerusalem, right? And in all Judea, that probably the most corresponding thing would probably be our state, our Judea, our Ohio. And remember, Ohio begins with an O and ends with an O. So there's a lot of excitement in that word, a lot of enthusiasm. Because it starts with an O and ends with an O. Okay. Just a thought. And in Samaria, which might be like our country. Or it could also refer to, because we know that the Samaritans were people that were like hated or disrespected or dishonored. You know, like going into the difficult places, you know, where it's not easy street. Hurting people hurt people. Going to people that are hurting. Going, you know, to the difficult places. Like there are some corners of Columbus that might be like Samaria. I mean, you know, like put your flak jacket on, put your helmet on, check out your insurance, carry a little pepper spray. The love of God, all right, you're probably all right. Just, okay, don't use the pepper spray unless you think you just have to. Because it's hard to read scriptures when you're crying. Okay, in Jesus' name. All right, there are some tough places. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. Wow, that makes it the world, doesn't it? Jesus' name. Give us a vision, Lord. Give us a vision, I pray. Lord, that matches your word. God, give us a vision bigger than us. Bigger than me. Bigger than us, I pray, Lord. Give us a vision, I pray. Quicken us tonight, all of us, to understand your heartbeat, Lord. Thank you, God. I worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you praise the Lord just real quick? Praise the Lord, God. Hallelujah. Give you praise. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Praise God. I have been lately just so, challenged by the harvest. I'm challenged, about soul winning. And it was so much fun. Thank you, Jasmine and Aaron, for letting me fit you out with Bible study materials last week. Thank you. And, of course, it was the Bible study that we taught you. It took us a half a year, if I remember right. How far was it from our house up to your house? About 50 miles, something like that, wasn't it? About 50, 45, 50, something like that. So round trip, it was a pretty good little trip, worth every minute of it. And they can testify. I remember when Aaron got the revelation of who Jesus is. I remember the night, and I remember the scripture we ended up on. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I remember the night when it became a revelation. Whoa, am I saying it right, Aaron? A revelation. You wrote a book and had that in there, I think, didn't you? Amen. Praise God. Beautiful times. There's something about soul winning. If you need a shot in the arm, or if you would just, you can call it witnessing or whatever you want to call it. Okay. It is so quickening. There is a supernatural joy. That's right. Amber, you and Angel Girl over here. There's an angel in her name, Angela. You're helping us as assistant outreach directors. And every week, and I get blessed reading your report. I really do. I try to make helpful suggestions, but I get touched and blessed. There is something about outreach when we're doing it. We are called to reproduce our experience in the heart of somebody else. How many of you have ever taught a Bible study? If you ever taught, even if it's just a lesson or two, are you sure? Brother Tim, you taught that, and I think you used with the young people, that was kind of the digital version. It was amazing, and I think some of our kids really saw the message for the first time. I will not soon forget the people that came to our house. They had the audacity to come to our house. And they looked so amazing to me. And I'm this unsaved kid. I've had a repentance experience. I'm talking about what's been on my heart lately, soul winning. I saw Jesse Lovecott. He said, every service, Pastor, you would bring up soul winning. I don't remember doing that. He says, every service, Pastor, you would hit soul winning somewhere in there. I didn't remember doing it every service. So these guys knock on our door, right? Now, how did they get to our door? You'd have to know my dad. Did any of you ever, you all met my dad, didn't you? Did you, Megan? He was such a character. I like that picture of me carrying you when you were just little. I saw that the other day. That. Oh, man, I love that picture. Not a very good picture of me, but a great picture of you. A good one of you, that's a good one of me. But my dad went to 2nd and R Street to a one God, Jesus name, apostolic, tongue-talking, rust-removing, chandelier-shaking, carpet-cleaning church. I'll give you an idea what kind of church it was. And so he sat in the back, and when they were sort of wrapping up the service, he kind of, you'd have to know my dad. He's a comedian. He was hilarious. I thought Bob Hope was boring when I got around my dad. I love Bob Hope, but my dad could have put Bob Hope out of business. He was so funny. So he's, you know, you'd have to know my dad and his ways, you know. Not too much got a hold of him, not too much moved him, not too much. And he sort of slumps out the door, you know. Well, Brother Abby, the assistant pastor, saw him leave out. And there's a side door in the building, right? Brother Abby runs over and runs out the side door. Runs down the lawn to catch my dad in the parking lot. No wonder he was a soul winner. He wouldn't let you get away from the church without talking to you. And if he had to run down the, you know, the back side of the building to catch you for you, that's how he connected with my dad. Probably touched my dad in that he, you know, being, even though he was many things, character and so on, he was very smart. He was a contractor. I think it touched him, the effort that Alan Abbey made. And so Brother Abbey sets up this Bible study with my father and his wife, his then wife. I say his then wife because he was married a lot of times. Okay, which I'm not trying to be critical, but he just, you know, he was. And so what was it Liz Taylor said? Something about, don't worry, you know, I know I won't be holding you long. But anyway, I won't be holding you long. Don't worry. But he's a good guy in many ways. And so Brother Abby sets up this Bible study, just like on the cuff, you know. You're like, soul winning is a lot like that. Yeah. It's like you see an opportunity, a little space of grace, and you step willing to kind of discern an opportunity. So he was running to be a soul winner. He saw an opportunity to set up a Bible study. We have people now that are coming that we need. We desperately need to get Bible studies opened up with them so that, and here we got, what, one or two started? A new one? Not two? Two going. There you go. Hasta la vista, Amazon. We're going to get into soul winning. Hallelujah. So that's why they're at our door. I mean, most of us wouldn't have run out the side door and run down the lawn and caught him in the parking lot, you know. And so he was so motivated, and something happened there. So my dad, of course, says, yeah, sure, you know. So they came over to our house. I'll never forget this. And I heard he had set up a Bible study. I was like, oh, no, not like the Bible studies that you call Bible studies, Dad, which is bring out the family Bible, that could choke a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Open it up. Somebody read a verse. Somebody read a verse. Does anybody understand it? No? Let's go to work. That was his idea of a Bible. That was his idea of a Bible. I'm thinking it was a 14-year-old. Oh, no, not more of that. Oh, I was trying to be, you know, kind and gracious. I was 14, you know, 14-year-old. Teen years are the years of temporary insanity, right? And so if you're bored, the chief cardinal sin is not like car theft or bank robbery. It's boring. You know, don't be boring, whatever, but just don't be boring. And I'm thinking, oh, great, now we're signed up for a boring Bible study like Dad thinks. Open the Bible. You understand anything? No, you don't. Let's go to work. Deep Bible study. So they make their entrance right into the house. And they had with them like an atmosphere. They carried God's presence into our house. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, whoa, Jack. And I'm only 14, you know. But I'm like, whoa. It's like, when God's presence is on you, you might feel like you're not, you know, you didn't go to Harvard. You know, you didn't go to Oxford. You didn't, but I'm going to tell you what, presence of God makes up for a lot of stuff. We had Bible studies with these guys. They broke into prayer meetings. We had to be careful. Because if we said something especially moving or provocative in some wonderful, good way by accident, probably, the Holy Ghost would touch us and it turned into a prayer meeting. That's okay, too. Because the Word of God goes deeper when there's been prayer. So they come into the house and their hearts were so amazing to be around. They were so sweet and loving and kind and gracious. They're, you know, we win people with our hearts, don't we really? I mean, yes, the Word, yes. But if we come in and we teach the Word and work, you know, we're all cranky and we're difficult and we're moody and we're talking about I had a lady, I used to work at Montgomery Ward's in Portland, Oregon when I was in Bible college. Worked at Montgomery Ward's. That was our nickname, Monkey Ward's. And I had a lady I was up on sixth floor in catalog, and I used to send out shipments all over the country. Had this one lady that would come by my workstation, and she was the most negative person up to that time that I had met in my life. And if I asked her how she was doing, she would tell me, and it was never a good story. you know what the organ recital is? The organ recital? Well, this, you know, my spleen is, you know, and she would start with the organ recital. What's wrong with every organ in your body? You know, the organ recital. And it's like, I learned, don't ask her how she's doing. She'll tell you. Tell her how you're doing. There's something about soul winning that it calls upon all of our reserves to be super positive. You can't be a great soul winner and be a negatician. I've never said that word in my life. A negatician, you know, like a statistician. I've never said that word in my life. That's not a bad one. I'm an author. Write it down. You know, soul winners are positive. You be around Christy over here. She's a soul winner. She has probably, there's no probably. She has all kinds of challenges. You get around her, she's a sweetheart. She's always smiling, always willing to pray, prophesy, minister, testify, witness in different, you know, situations and things. She's like a soul winner, you know. Just, I love that. And she represents it so, the truth so well. So I think that the cross, okay, is God's plus sign to the world. It's God's plus sign to the world. And sometimes we just get our engines worked over. We're just human beings. We can get stressed out. Lots of stuff can happen. But to be a witness, we have to work on being that optimist, you know, see vision from optometrist, optician. Optimist, I see through the mist. I see clearly. So, Sister Amber, I'm only 14 and I'm dreading this, Sister Peggy, this Bible study. Like, okay, read a verse, somebody. Okay, anybody understand it? Okay, let's go to work. I'm just dreading that kind of a Bible study, right? I'm just like, I can't say nothing, it's not my house. So, it was anything but that. That was not the Bible study. But here's what really, really began to turn my heart toward God and the truth. Before they left our house, and this is one of the most powerful things that you can do when you're teaching a Bible study somewhere. And that is, have a word of prayer. Okay? Because does anybody know how to pray like one God, Jesus, name? Does anybody know how to pray? Like you know, God's blessed us in that department. And we thank him for that help. Prayer is a big part of our life, isn't it? But there are two extremes that you have to, steer away from. If you're going to be a Bible study teacher and a soul winner, you have to steer away from extremes. That's not a bad principle. Okay. What gathered in Charlottesville a few weeks ago? Extremists. Extremists don't gather together. They alienate. Okay, you can't be like, okay, so what do you mean by this? Okay, so here's one prayer extreme. When you have that word of prayer, the Lord touched me when they prayed. The Lord touched me, and I was impacted, Angela, with, they knew how to pray like you. I mean, you're a praying machine. They were prayer warriors. They prayed. They brought the presence, and they prayed some more of it down on us. It's like, whoa, I'm just a lost teenager, you know. Whoa, Jack, whoa. And I'm thinking, what are these guys? Man, they got a hold of something. I have a sneaking suspicion this ain't going to be no dead Bible study. And I was right. Here are the two extremes. If you get nervous, you can't pray a stained glass prayer, a stained glass window prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, wouldst thou show yourself to, I mean, stained glass, dead, dull, boring. That's one extreme. You're trying to be so careful, you're boring. The other prayer would be something like this, another extreme the other way. Now, God, I ask you to come into this living room and pour out the Holy Ghost and fire. You open your eyes, and they're gone. They've jumped out the window. Where'd they go? I don't know. You scared the pudding out of them. So two different extremes, you know. Dead, dull, boring. Or, oh, Lord, let the Holy Ghost fall in this place. Open your eyes. Where did they go? They're both in the restroom with the door locked. Come and rescue us. We're scared out of our wits. We've never heard anybody pray like that. So just a thought. They prayed. Such a presence. Oh, I say, Maddie, such a presence. They prayed and brought such a presence. Just thinking about it tonight. And then the way that they came in and taught the word and made it so understandable. Now, I didn't remember this, but years later, we were talking to Brother Abby, and we went to preach for him. Years later, when we were in the ministry, and he was pastoring in Sacramento. Actually, I think he started several churches in Sacramento. I think he's got several daughter works. He's now the bishop. It's been about 50 years. Oh, have mercy. Lord, I'm such a young man. Cannot leave my mother. Okay. Anyway, he was so patient with us. He says, I don't remember this. But, you know, sometimes people have better memories than you do, even though you think you've got a good memory. Somebody remembers something that you just didn't phase you. And did an Oshkosh fly by, you know, didn't even notice it. He said there was at least one time when, while he was teaching the word, we were playing checkers. Now, I don't remember that. But he didn't go, all right, now I'm calling down the fire of God upon you for not paying attention to the word. You bunch of bozos across the table. He just taught the word of God and smiled. I don't remember that. I don't know how we could have done that. He was an interesting teacher. But that's what he says, and he's straight as a narrow, and he's a great man of God. So I'm going to believe that he's remembering it right. But I don't know how we did. I don't know how we did that to him. Oh, Lord have mercy. And what I'm saying is that sometimes in a Bible study you can get frustrated. Really, and I'll tell you a little something else about Bible study. When you're teaching the word, remember that verse that says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? But before it makes you free, it often makes you angry. Okay, because you realize, uh-oh. And this is when you really know that they're understanding. When they go, we've never heard this taught at our church. Oh, is that right? That's amazing. You can't go, oh, I've been trying to tell you that, you know, blustery. No, just gentle. What's that old song? Was it the gentleman that we just lost just a few weeks ago is singing his voice, Glenn Campbell. Was he the one that sang Gentle on My Mind? Gentle on My Mind. Brother and Sister Abby were like, you could tell they were in love with each other, first of all. And they were a handsome, good-looking couple, you know. They were in love with each other. Like I came over to somebody the other day, and, oh, was it? Yeah, I think it was Scott. I said, no smooching over here in the front row, smooching. You know, I'm such a character. Help me, Jesus, okay? So anyway, just so adorable the way they were sitting together and just sort of played on my heartstrings, you know. But when it comes to Bible studies, you can, like, people can get, especially when they start seeing things that mean that means they've not understood it correctly up to that point. They can get ornery before they get free, and the truth shall make you free, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They can get a little ornery. They can get kind of clouded up in their face and look a little unhappy and so on. What's happening? It's called conviction. This Word and Spirit Bible study, it is so heavy duty. It's so loaded with Scripture. I don't even know. I mean, I taught a businessman, and it took his breath away. I mean, a wonderful guy. New Ember knows us, and we were in real estate course sessions together. Just an amazing guy. And I think the first guy that I taught that Bible. So, why, you know, you're supposed to do it in one sitting, right? Boop, 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 boop. You know, it's like, any questions? Oh. I mean, it was like it took his breath away. So the word of God is, here, let me show you something. Let's go to Psalms, if you would. Psalms 19. Can you follow what I'm saying, sort of? Okay. Psalms 19, and check it right in there. Okay, here we go. All right. His going forth. Let's see. All of a sudden, here we go. Wait a minute, just a second. There we go. His going forth is from the end. Verse 6 is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Nothing hid from the heat thereof. God can turn the heat up on anybody that he wants to. And nothing can protect them from the heat of his conviction and dealings. Nothing's hit from the heat there. Then watch this. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What does that mean? That means that your Bible, my Bible, is the greatest evangelist in the world. Just open it up and give little pieces of it to people, and it will do the evangelizing. Because the law of the Lord is perfect. Converting. Convert. Wow. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When we open up the Bible, you remember Tom and Kim Baumgartner? They came many years ago, first time. They came back in a service or two, or three. We got excited, you know. And then something happened. I'm not sure exactly what it was. And they disappear. Okay. 5 years go by. This is a family that ended up later on coming in. And Megan, you guys know Tom and Kim. She starts having these horrendous panic attacks. And guess who she calls for? Get a hold of Pastor Meadows for me. She's at the hospital. And I don't mean like light. I mean like major panic attacks. So I knew that we had, they had been involved in a little bit of Bible study teaching. Maybe even more than a little bit, quite a bit. Between what other people had shared with them and connecting with them. And then they disappeared. So I thought, Lord, lead me. Give me, help me to know how to be an encouragement to them now and to build a bridge. I used to be like used a lot in soul winning, in closing. Do you know what a closer is? What's a closer, Amber? You're a sports. Like in baseball, what's a closer? Okay, this is not basketball. Hold on, because I know you're, but now there's a guy over here, and he's going to be on the guy side. He'll probably, in a baseball, what's a closer?
It's the pitcher that comes in to basically wrap up the game, try to make sure they get the win.
So I would often, in the Fond du Lac area, some saint would get somebody to a certain point, and then they couldn't seem to quite close it, so they'd bring me in, and I would close it out with and sink the hook as deep as I could with the word. And often, grace of God, only the Lord. It's not us, it's him working. We have nothing but to brag on his name, his blood, his power. Yeah, she's into basketball. He's into multi-sports, I think. Yeah. Okay. We get to basketball. I'm coming back to Amber, though. I want you to know I'm coming back to Amber. Okay. The big dog. That was her nickname. Woo! She's so competitive. I love it. You never know that, but if you watch her play volleyball, I love it. I love it. It's so powerful. So all of this is brought into play. It was the word. Now, yes, Alan and Carol Abbey won us over to him. See, sometimes we win them to Jesus, but we also need to win them to us, too, to give them something to hang on to. It's mainly Jesus. Understand what I'm saying? If we offend them, you can teach till your teeth fall out and the cows come home, and they ain't going to change because they don't like you or don't like me. So here's a statement. Presentation is everything. Presentation is everything. My wife, you know, honey, you want some breakfast? Do I want some breakfast? You better be. And she gets them those eggs, scrambled eggs and sausage. Wee-haw! I mean, like sausage in the frying pan. The smell. There's a book that came out, Don't Sell the Steak, Sell the Sizzle. We need to have a little sizzle going, you know? You need to, you know. So you're looking at me funny. Okay, well, it's the truth. We can't be dead. Don't, you know. How many of you, I'm not a great fisherman. How many have done a lot of fishing? You ever work with them earthworms? Of course, that's the most basic. You know, we won't go into the glow worms and, you know, all this other stuff. We'll just talk about the earthworms. You ever, you know, fit one of them earthworms onto? Do you find the most crinkly, most dried out, most dead looking worm? You put them you know, put him on the hook. Him, man. He's dancing. Put him on my hook. Because no fish is going to nibble on you if you're dead, dry, dull, and boring. But if you've got some oomph, you know, that's what triumph is. Just try glued to a bunch of oomph. You've got some oomph. You've got some energy. You've got some. You might have something they need. Praise God. Their hearts, they were so patient with us. And then the presentation of the word. You can teach a Bible study. Let me ask you this. If not a Bible study, show me something better. Show me something better that gets people into the kingdom and gives them an undergirding, a foundation. I've done a little bit of everything. I've preached street meetings. I've done door-to-door. I was doing door-to-door evangelism when I was your age minus 6 years. Matter of fact, I got the Holy Ghost on a Friday night and I was knocking on doors on Saturday morning. They didn't give me a chance to backslide. So you think, what did we say? I'm not sure, just telling your testimony.
Hi.
I don't know anything, but I just got the Holy Ghost. That's how they broke us in. Such in-depth training. And yet, we were full of the Spirit. And that was a testimony in itself. So that's a big part of it. Is staying full of him, full of his Spirit. And then when you're there in a Bible study, it's a combination of interacting with, you know, people skills. We are in the what business? The people business. Brother Cunningham was talking about this some long time ago, right? He said, we were at such and such a mall, and he said, these folks went by, and he said, I could tell they were Pentecostals, and I thought, really? Why? He said, because they wouldn't talk to us. I noticed this in malls. I noticed people, and I know they're one God, Jesus namers, but they won't smile. They won't talk to you or me. They won't. They're the worst advertisement that God, if he had advertisement, like people that are alive, worms that are dancing the Casablanca, you know, on a hook. Did you know that's in the scripture, by the way? Oh, okay. You're not sure about that? Let's go to Psalms 22. Psalms 22. Okay. And let's see if... Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go, here we go. Can anybody see what I'm looking for? Can anybody see the verse in that chapter that I'm gunning for? Psalms 22, verse 6. Look at that. But I am a worm. Hello. Wait a minute, you're the worm. You better learn how to do the boogeyman. Not really. But you better learn how to move and juke and jive and have some fun. And right. I've run across some of our people in mall. They won't look at me. Hello? I'll open the door for them. So I'll go, thank you very much. You're welcome. I carry both sides of the conversation. It's really cool. You can get good at it. You know, well, thank you very much, sir. You're welcome. You know, it's to comfort my broken heart that people that I knew were what I am didn't even have enough warmth to say hi or thanks. Let's ask God to fill us with that warmth. Oh, praise God. That's what soul winning. Soul winning. Loving people. Loving people, Lord Jesus, I am the worm on the hook, but I am a worm. God, there's a revelation in that. I've got to have some life. I've got to have some shine. I've got to have some fire in my eyes. I've got to have some warmth. I've got to have some grace for people and goodness and optimism, Lord. We are the worm. Praise God. We are what is a central part of your effort, Lord, to touch others, God. Thank you so much for giving us your blessings and your truth, Lord. In Jesus' name. But I am a worm. There we go. And notice, he said, remember that song we used to sing as kids? I will make you fishers of men. He never said hunters, did he? Because hunters, or the word hunt or hunters, involves bullets. But fishing involves bait. And there's a big difference between bullets and bait. He wants me to live so full of him that I'm the bait. Hallelujah. You've been around somebody and thought, goodness sakes, give me some of that pizzazz. Yeah. Give me some of that shiny stuff, that whatever that is. I want some of that. I saw that in them. They brought, just like the Ark of the Covenant, Peg, and I'm referring now to one of our most avid, faithful Bible study teachers, Sister Peggy, wouldn't you know it? She is a Bible study teacher. Man, got to figure out a way to slip in on one of her studies. She has. I got her under stress now. No, I would just be there to cheer you on, praise the Lord, and learn from you. Everybody teaches me stuff, new stuff. But this is what soul winning. I feel like we need We need to talk about Bible studies and soul winning, like big time. And this message on prophecy, hopefully we can, Sister Gwen, if you get an idea how we can find one that has that volume on it, but we could always call him. And I know that that's probably his central, his first message. I mean, he's had probably 50, 20, 35, whatever messages. That's the first one that he would present at a camp and let you see the slides and the pictures that he presents to show you how close we are to the end of it all. It's convicting and it's provocative and it touches my heart. Everywhere we go, well, we got the preachers and their wives, this little report that we turn in. It's really so easy. If you just take time to think about what you've been doing during the week, it might be that you made some phone calls. People say, well, what counts? Everything counts in soul winning. Everything counts. So these guys consistently came to our house, used the dining room table, and they had just created a large set of charts about yay by yay. And my understanding was, we were the first people they taught it to. Now, do you know how hard it is to teach your first Bible study? And then it's your study and you and the artwork and everything. Actually, quite a Bible study. This is about a year before Search for Truth came out. So a year before Search for Truth. So it had to be then, and I've asked Brother Abby about this, the first charted home Bible study taught in UPC history was taught to my family. So I am trying to give God some dividends back. Travel with me to Psalms 126, if you would. Staying again within the scope of the book of Psalms 126. I love this. I love this whole chapter. It's very short, this psalm. It's very short. Verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Isn't that what we felt like when we got up off the altar? You know, it's almost like we were sleepwalking. I mean, we were in a dream world, a whole new heart. How do you do a heart transplant and don't bleed out at the altar? Actually, at Walmart in Fond du Lac years ago, Angela, man, I told the lady about a heart transplant that God had given me, and there were customers behind me, and it just kind of went that way, and I meant what I was. And then she thought that it was that I meant a physical heart transplant, and people were, and it's like, oh, it turned into a witness, but I didn't mean a physical heart transplant, but a spiritual heart. Anyway, I still remember that. Walmart, Fond du Lac. Okay. My witnessing kind of crashed, but hey, I think I made a point or two. But anyway, and I got to go back there and explain that to her. We were like them that dream. Verse 2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Laughter. Singing. There it is. It's presentation. When people are happy around you and they're trying to share something or they share a little something and they're happy, they're laughing. People don't laugh enough. And I am not sure if I didn't miss my calling. Maybe I was supposed to be a comedian. But if you can get people to laugh with you, they will also cry with you. They will also be open. Don't worry. Use that sense of humor. Everybody needs some humor, especially after the scary day they just had. Everybody needs some humor, and humor is like, to me, the great disarmer. It disarms people. Now watch this. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the unsaved guys, the pagans, the Lord hath done great things for them. Was it a doctrinal lesson that convinced them? The laughter? I think that it's wonderful that if you have the joy of the Lord, you text mail your face and tell it to show that joy that you that you've got. Okay, text mail your family, inform your face, because your face your face is God's billboard through which he advertises his redemption. Some people's face looks like a wonderful page to put right before the book of Lamentations. I see Derek and Tiffany. They always greet me with a smile. I'm the one, and I'm trying to give them a fresh smile. But they're always bringing me two of them. So I'm a wealthy man. I am a wealthy man. Wealthy in love and grace. And in the good people of the Lord and what they do for me. It's so true. They said among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. How do you know that? Live wire, man. The worms doing the Casablanca. You know, on the hook, you know. It's like the fish are like, maybe seriously think about nibbling over there. Because that worm's alive. So watch this, verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Many times we have lost the joy of the Lord and never reclaimed it. The joy of the Lord is one of the most powerful things we got going. Actually, more open doors. You know, anybody got a crowbar? Hey, Derek, you have a crowbar? And you do? If I was just a little more fanatical than I am right now, and I'm really close to this, you know, I'd say, Derek, go out and get your crowbar and have him bring it up. I'd say, hold on here, I'm going to try to get a witness opportunity. I'm trying to get the door open for a witness. Just be happy. And people want to know what you're up to. Why are you so happy? I'm glad you asked me. Let me tell you why I'm so happy. See, the joy of the Lord is your strength. What did he say in John 16, 24? Hitherto, what does he say there? Something about hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now watch this. I'm reading that one day and it dawns on me. He's more, if I'm reading this verse right, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full. He's more concerned about my joy being full than the answer to my prayer. If you really look at that, you can see it. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, asking you shall receive. That, see, we'd stop and go, well, I got my answer. He said, that your joy may be full. Because you can't hold down. You can't stop a joyful person. You can't depress a joyful person. You can't get a joyful person to backslide because something buoys them up. You understand? Let's thank the Lord for the joy of our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Joy, pure joy, unmitigated, undiluted joy. It's a part of our soul winning. Thank you for your joy, Lord. Help us to understand that your joy is a big part of this presentation. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Watch this. Verse 4, turn again our captivity. Notice that it says turn again. And verse 1, it said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion. Okay, when I came to the Lord, like a bird out of prison, that old song. I was already captive. So he didn't throw my captivity away, he just turned it. The same guy that was captive to sin, captive to the world. Now I'm captive and captivated by the living Christ. My captivity didn't disappear. It just changed places and turned. when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Thank you, God. Can you follow? I'm just talking about some of the elements that are involved in soul winning. And you, if you take joy out, it doesn't work. Soul winning doesn't work without the joy of God working. Wow, the Lord hath done great things for us, where we are glad. Verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams. Now watch this. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. You know how you look at a verse, and you look at it for years and years and years, and then one day you might have had maybe more coffee than you normally have, you know, and your brain's just kind of dancing, you know. And you see something that, you look, I mean, I've been reading that verse for 30, 40 years. And I read that verse, and this is what I saw. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams. Everybody watch this. Ready? As the streams in the south. When you cry, your tears don't go up north. They go south, don't they? They might go east and west on some of you. Okay. So. they go, I am such a mess. Okay, they might go west on a bad day or east, okay? But normally they go south, right? You say, well, that can't be what it's talking about. Well, the next verse proves it is. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So he showed me that streams in the south was another coded reference to the tears in the next verse. And here's the deal about that. If you go to teach somebody a Bible study, or they come to your house and teach, and you have no burden for them, much of your power never shows up. You don't hear people use that word a lot anymore. Like when I came into the church, well, I got a burden to preach, you know. I got a burden to sing. I've got a burden to work the altars. Through the years, I don't hear that word a lot, but it's a powerful word. They that sow in tears, see, like the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall. It's not the tears that you're sowing, it's the word. 1 Peter 1:23. Somebody look that up real quick, would you? Sister Amber, would you find that? Read it for us. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. It's not the tears that we're sowing. We're sowing God's seed, the word, but we're sowing it in compassion. We're sowing it driven and fueled. Some people fool around. Some people fuel around. See, fueled. Fueled by compassion. Fueled by concern. Fueled by a burden. They that sow in tears shall reap. Enjoy. 1 Peter 1:23.
Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he was suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Is that 1 Peter? 1:23.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. When you sow, you don't sow tears. You sow in tears, or with burdened compassion. If we just go through the motions, well, praise the Lord, I taught 312 Bible studies this year. Didn't win anybody, but man, oh man, I sure did fill a lot of false doctrine with a lot of holes. You know what a Pentecostal sharpshooter is, don't you? Well now, I said the Bible declares. I've been around Pentecostal sharpshooters, you know. They weren't really trying to win anybody. They were just trying to prove themselves right all the time. They filled a lot of people full of a lot of holes, but they never won anybody because they never had compassion or a burden, a concern, and love for people. They had an ego as big as Alaska, and they had to have it fortified by the braggadocio that they had taught so many Bible studies. But teaching Bible studies without a burden is like going hunting without a gun, going fishing without a pole and some bait. Let's ask God for that. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Let's ask God for that compassion. We got people in our services that still don't have a Bible study. People visiting our services still don't have a Bible study. Hope you can catch up to them, preacher, and teach them a Bible study. Help me win them, Lord. Give us a compassion. This has been on my heart, Lord. This is probably very humble stuff, but this has been jumping around in my heart. Help us, help us, help us, I pray, to reach others, Lord, and give us. Could we pray that, Lord? Give me a burden for somebody. Maybe it's just one person. Give me a burden, Lord, for somebody. You said, but ye shall receive power. But ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Here's what these precious people did that taught my family. They cried over us. They had the audacity to cry over us. Cry with us, cry over us. And if those two verses, the one about the streams in the south, verse 4 and verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, then the great pulling together of it all in verse 6, he that goeth forth. Notice the tense that it's in. Well, Pastor, back in 45, I taught a Bible study and it didn't work out real good. As a matter of fact, it was a disaster back in 45. See, it didn't say he that went one time. He that went one time and taught one Bible study. He that goeth forth. Somebody is going to keep on going out, going forth. It's a present progressive tense there in the Hebrew. It means that they just kept up. Does anybody remember your first Bible study that you taught? Mine was a disaster. I think I saw what I did. I tried to go too deep. Bible studies are not designed to be deep. Don't go deep. Why? Because the people you're teaching know so little. You know, if you go deep, you'll lose them and confuse them, and it's hard to win people that are losing and confusing, okay? So it's really, really hard to win people. Don't smile. You might break your face, and we'll have broken pieces of you in your lap, okay? He that goeth forth and weepeth, and that's got the same ETH on it, doesn't it? You start crying, and you stop never. You start caring and you stop never. You stop loving. You start loving and you stop never. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. There's that seed business again. What's the biggest part of the word seed? See. You want to see results? There's a see in seed. You want more visuals? More examples of production and reproduction. Put the word, that incorruptible seed, that we in them. Hey, they dug up these peas. Everybody, you remember this story? Raise your hand if you remember the story about the peas in the pyramids. Over, at that point, I guess, over 3,000 years old. By the way, I love peas. Man. And they went and planted them, and boom! Fresh pea patch. The germ of life was still in those peas. If peas could do that, what about God's word? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That Greek there means all scripture is God breathed. His life is in his word. And when you sow it in people, it's there forever. Oh, let's love God right now as we, woo, Lord Jesus. I worship you, Lord. I want to be involved, Lord. I want to be involved in soul winning. I want to be involved in loving others. I want to be, Lord. Oh, great God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, so much. He that goeth forth and weeping, we never can afford. If you lose the burden, ask for it back. Or give me a new one. Give me a fresh one. I remember when you came in, Amber. I'm going to tell you what. You spread so much excitement, you and your beautiful girls. It was so exciting. You knew what I felt when you came in, Amber? I felt like she is so classy. She's so classy. And she is. And she has her hands full of challenges, probably larger, bigger than most folks. But she's involved. She's in everything. And she wants to be in more. I mean, it's exciting. She's a teacher, and she's a singer, and she's this and that. And she's a volleyball player. She's into fellowship. I remember you coming in. And matter of fact, I did something I called an audible. Brother Aaron, what's an audible? That's when we birthed the FBI class. I saw, look at all these beautiful kids coming in. We had Kathy coming with her three tornadoes. I mean, kids. Remember Kathy and her three beautiful kids? And I called an audible. Let's start an FBI Faithful Bible Investigators class. And that was the start right there when Amber was coming in. Very exciting time. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the word of God, shall doubtless. Oh, you want a guarantee on your soul winning? Shall doubtless. You keep going, keep weeping, keep sowing. You keep going, keep weeping, keep caring, keep loving, keep sowing. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. These guys, Tom and Kim Baumgartner. 5 years later, I'm over at the hospital, and I said, Tom and Kim, I know you've been in some Bible studies. What if pastor just came to your house once a week? No charts, no nothing. They'd had some of that. And let me just bring my Bible. I said, let me bring my Bible and just lay it on the table. You'd have to know Tom and Kim, especially Kim. How do you describe Kim, Sister Megan? Unbelievable. Dynamo. And let's just once a week come, and let's just, let me handle questions that you have. See, it was beguiling because it's not, we're going to go through those charts again. I said, Lord, show me what to do here. Let me just come once a week and handle questions. Once a week. Guess what? They came in on that one. Every week, just showing up, open our Bibles, laid them on the table. Okay, what questions are bothering you? What's eating your lunch? It's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. So what's eating you? You know, and so we'd open up the scriptures and try to field a few questions, have a little fellowship. On our way, they came into the church. And they'd been in that church for how many years? 100 years? 20 years? 25? I used to go out counseling with Tom, and he'd write notes on napkins, you know, like McDonald's napkins and Hardee's. Hardee's napkins. South Hardee's, West Hardee's, East Hardee's. Hardy's helped me so much in my counseling ministry. And I'm told that he would get home and he'd take those napkins, peg, and he would lay, you know, thoughts from counseling, and lay them on his dresser. Like, these are the notes from pastor's counseling. Precious people. It was that next time we just had a different approach. Let me teach a Bible study with just a naked Bible. Just your Bible out and my Bible out on the table in questions and see what God does. Be willing to be versatile. Be willing to be versatile. Maybe, you know, if you brought those charts, somebody go, oh, my Lance, how long does it take to go through those charts? Well, normally, let's see, this is 2017. We should probably be wrapping up in 22. I mean, they're going to go, nah, you're scaring me. You know, like 5 years, really? You know, So maybe you need to revert to something briefer, and a lot of shorter Bible studies have come out. I've probably got 5 or 10 short Bible studies in my office that I could share with you, give to you, and you could teach. All right, praise God. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, plural, with him shall doubtless. Some of you ought to take that doubtless business and lift it up to Jesus. Hey, Lord. See this verse? Right there. See? So large, it could be read from the moon, right? Look. From the moon. Can you see it? Shall doubtless. I'm asking you to keep your word. Hallelujah. To back up your word. To back up your word in closing. Woo! Anybody want to see God back up his word? Oh, praise God. Real quick. Mark chapter 16. Real quick. Closing. So this is what's been on my heart and mind. We should have another 20 Bible studies going on. That could be short ones. Mid. Longer. I like this. Verse 20, the very last verse of Mark 16. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. He doesn't confirm our prejudice. He doesn't confirm our tradition. He doesn't confirm our liturgies. He confirms his word. So if you want to see miracles, throw some word out there and give God something to work with. Something that he can shout amen to. Put his word out there. Oh, let's lift our hearts to God in closing today as our worship team comes for a minute or two and we wrap this up in Jesus' name, Lord. Give us, Lord. Give us, I pray, Lord. Oh, that burden business, God. Anybody, did that speak to anybody? That spoke to me. This burden business. No matter how old we get in God, we're going to soften the lights if we could again for just a few moments here, a few minutes. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these beautiful people that we've had the privilege to share with this evening. God, thank you. Thank you for the patience and prayerfulness and the hearts full of love and grace that brought us your plan. They loved us. They covered us in grace. They kept coming every week consistently. And they opened your word to us. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have so many beautiful truths that God has given us that should humble us, not make us proud, but humble us. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, Acts 5:32. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And daily in the temple and in every house, give us Bible studies in our homes, Lord. And daily in the temple and in every house. Do you want to be a soul winner? Does anybody want to bring? Is there something more exciting than helping an individual, helping a family, helping somebody walk into the new birth experience? Shall we love him and ask him for that burden? Oh God, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you. Thank you for trusting us with revelation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, God. There's no other.